What is the role of the church in the world? For some people, the church is just a relic of the past. For others, the church is just a cultural decoration that makes weddings more interesting. Some people view the church just like any other charity, and others expect education or they expect entertainment from it. Other people see the church as a parasite that is sucking the blood of society. What is the role of the church? What is the church? The church is a community where we learn. It is also a community where we do acts of mercy. But what is the main mission of the church? Who were the apostles sent by Christ to establish the church? Were they social workers who solved social problems? Were they great minds who came up with new ideas, with a new ideology? Were they talented entertainers who fascinated the masses with beautiful artistic productions? From the ministry of the apostles, we understand the mission of the church. And in this text that we just read, the Apostle Paul describes his ministry among the nations. And although the apostles had a unique role back then in the first century, their ministry continues to be carried out by the church as a whole. And that is how Romans 15 helps us understand the amazing calling of the church. The church has a special role in the world. When the church is gathered in worship, there is something unique that is going on. And without the church, the world would be destitute of something critical. And that is the priestly service of the gospel. We see it here in verse 16, but what does it mean? The priestly service of the gospel. You might think that it sounds odd. It might make us a little bit worried because we are Protestants and we reject the medieval views on priesthood. What does it mean? Maybe you're thinking that the priests were only a matter of the Old Testament. So now, what does this priestly service of the gospel mean? From the words of the Apostle Paul here, we learn about two sacrifices. First, here we see that the priestly ministry of the gospel brings to us a sacrifice from God. This is God's sacrifice for us. In the first part of the letter, the Apostle Paul spoke of the sinfulness of all people. Jews and Gentiles, all people, they're all sinners. There is no man who's able to atone for his sin. There's no man who's able to live in obedience. The Jews might take pride in the old covenant, but the pride goes away when they realize that they failed to be God's people. That is why Paul is not talking here about a priestly service of the law. That didn't work out because, as Paul says in Romans 3, both Jews and Greeks are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one. So that is why Paul is not speaking here of a priestly service of the law, but a priestly service of the gospel. We are in a new covenant, and the changing from the old to the new brought a change also regarding its priesthood. But the old priesthood was not simply removed. It was replaced. It was replaced with a new one, with a better priesthood. In the words of the author of Hebrews, we have a new and better covenant, so we have also a new and better priesthood. We need to understand the statement that Paul makes here, the priestly service of the gospel, in the context of the New Testament teaching of priesthood, of Christian priesthood. Just because we don't have the medieval kind of priests, doesn't mean we don't have any kind of priests. We have only one high priest. It is not the Pope, it is not the pastor, it is not the chairman of synod or the clerk of classes. Our only high priest is the God-man Jesus Christ. As Hebrews 10 states, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies shall be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The old covenant with the old priests only provided shadows, symbols, many sinful priests bringing imperfect and insufficient sacrifices. But the new covenant of the gospel brings us the reality signified by those shadows. God himself became man, and he brought the perfect sacrifice on the cross. God himself became our priest. But you might ask yourself, if Christ is the only high priest, if the only sacrifice for our sins has already been brought once and for all, then why is Paul here referring to the gospel preaching ministry as a priestly service of the gospel? Paul is clearly not seeing himself as a mediator between God and man, bringing a sacrifice from man to God. So what other priestly service is there? There is one thing that the priests would do after sacrifice. They would come out of the temple with the blood from the sacrifice and sprinkle the people with that blood. And that was the ritual for sanctifying the people. And throughout the New Testament, we see that the apostles speak of us being sanctified through the blood of Christ. Hebrews 12 says that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, and that he sanctifies us with a sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And the Apostle Peter introduces his first letter to those who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. So these texts in the New Testament use this image of the priest coming out with the blood and sprinkling the people. Christ is our only high priest. He brought the one and only atoning sacrifice for our sins, not in a temple made by men, but he entered the heavenly holy of holies once and for all, atoning for our sins. But how are we sprinkled with his blood? How are we sprinkled with the blood of that sacrifice? How do we partake in that sacrifice? What are the means through which we receive the benefits of that one and only sacrifice brought by Christ? By the work of the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit work? The Spirit creates faith in our hearts through the preaching of the gospel and confirms it through the use of the sacraments. By preaching and by sacraments, we are not bringing a sacrifice to God, but God is making us partakers of the sacrifice of Christ. God is granting to us those benefits. The word of the gospel, by the power of the Spirit, creates faith in us, unites us to Christ, cleanses us of the guilt of our sins. We partake in this one and only sacrifice by the means of grace. So we need to remember this whenever we hear the gospel preached. We need to think of this whenever we have the opportunity to be witnesses of the gospel. We do not have the unique calling that the Apostle Paul had. And maybe you're not in full-time gospel ministry. But as the Heidelberg Catechism states in question and answer 32, we are called Christians because we partake in the anointing of Christ, and we also partake in the anointing of Christ as a priest. The mission of the church is to bring this one and only sacrifice of Christ to the world, not by repeating or reenacting it, but by the preaching of the gospel and by the confirmation of the sacraments. This is the great sacrifice that was anticipated by the Old Testament. And in Romans 10, the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah 52. He also quotes Isaiah 52 here in Romans 15 in the text we just read. And right before the great prophecy of Isaiah 53, God speaks in Isaiah 52 of the faithful servant who shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you by his appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance, and his form beyond that of children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. I have again this image of sprinkling through the blood. By faith in Christ, we have this sprinkling, this partaking in the sacrifice of Christ. And God uses the church, God uses us to bring this sprinkling to other people, just like it got to us. But what is the effect of this sprinkling? What happens when this sprinkling comes to sinners? And this brings us to the second thing we see here in our text. The second thing we see here is that the priestly ministry of the gospel turns us into a sacrifice before God. We become a sacrifice. We become a living sacrifice of thanksgiving, acceptable before God, because we're sanctified by the Spirit. So we become a sacrifice, and this is our sacrifice to God, our sacrifice for God. We first partake in the benefits of Christ's sacrifice. We receive the gospel in its priestly function, and then we respond with gratitude. We present our whole lives as a sacrifice, as an offering for God. Not a sacrifice for our sins, but a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So we need to remember that this is what our lives are. Our lives are a sacrifice before God, and we are priests bringing this sacrifice before God. We need to remember that we don't live our lives just for ourselves. We don't live just for our petty, temporary, little objectives. We don't live our lives only on a horizontal level, but we live before God, and we are called to live for His glory. So whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we are called to do it all for the glory of God. And not only our individual lives, not only individually, but Christians from all the nations are gathered. The Gentiles become an acceptable offering before God. And from verse 17, we see that the Apostle Paul says that this is accomplished through the ministry of the gospel. Nations, people from all over the world who were unbelieving sinners, now they are cleansed and they are renewed and they are brought together in the church, and they become a sacrifice before God. Isaiah 52, the text that Paul quotes here, says that kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. This is the transformation by the power of the gospel, a transformation that stops us from living in the rebellion of sin. Sinful people who become reconciled to God, reconciled with their Creator, and their lives start having a different purpose. Earlier in Romans 12, the Apostle Paul exhorted Roman believers to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. In receiving the sacrifice of Christ, we are passive. But in offering our lives as a sacrifice, we are active. So whatever we do from gratitude towards God, from love of God and neighbor, is not something that we do just to obey some rules that are given by the elders or the pastor. It is not something that we do so that we have a peaceful life, so that we are satisfied. But whatever we do in our Christian life out of gratitude, out of love, we do for God. We do for His glory. And this helps us rethink our life and our role in the world. The priestly role of the church in the world is not only to preach the gospel, not only to bring the sacrifice of Christ to the world, but also to bring the lives of men and women who are transformed by the power of the gospel and they are turned into a sacrifice before God. The worship of the church is no small thing. On the Lord's Day, when we are gathered as the people of God, scattered in many congregations around the world, some are larger, some are smaller, but each one is only a tiny part of the whole, we are gathered to bring our thanksgiving before God. We are gathered to bring offerings of thanksgiving through our worship, through our praise before God. We're not coming here so that we entertain ourselves. We're not coming here just so that we learn. But we come here primarily so that we would worship our God, so that we would offer our words and us being here as a sacrifice of thanksgiving before God. We are not worshiping only on a horizontal level, but we are joined in worship by the angels and by the saints in heaven. Our worship is an entering of the heavenly, holy of holies, as the author of Hebrews says in chapter 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Having received the benefits of the sacrifice of Christ, having been cleansed by the blood of Christ, now we are called to bring ourselves as a sacrifice of thanksgiving before God. This is the purpose of the church, and this is the purpose of evangelism. This is the purpose of missions. Our purpose, our mission is to bring the sacrifice of Christ to the world, but also to gather together as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The public worship of God and the sanctified living of the church is the sacrifice that we bring before God. And this is not just the mission of full-time ministers. It's not just the task of ministers and elders to expand the church, to witness to the gospel, to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We don't have only some priests, a few priests in the church, but all of us are priests. The error of the Middle Ages was that people thought that the priests were doing all sorts of things on their behalf. The priests were praying on their behalf. The monks were fasting on their behalf. They're worshiping on their behalf. But we believe that we have this vocation, that we share this anointing of Christ as priest. It is not only the vocation of full-time ministers or of elders or deacons. It is the vocation of all Christians to bring this sacrifice before God. And maybe sometimes we have difficulties in bringing this sacrifice. Maybe sometimes you feel that worship is boring. And that's okay, sometimes it is. But regardless of how we feel about worship, our worship has an objective value before God. It is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Maybe sometimes you feel that your sanctified living is not so holy all the time. You're not alone. We all feel that way. But whether you think that you made little progress or a lot of progress in your sanctification, its very existence is the work of the Holy Spirit. Its very existence, the very fact that you're asking these questions, is the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. It has an objective value. Things in our life that don't seem special, a worship that lacks anything special, our imperfect life, our imperfect sanctified living is washed, is sanctified by the Holy Spirit through the blood of Christ, and we are turned into a sacrifice that is acceptable before God. The Christian life is most often filled not with victorious conquering of great mountain peaks, but it is many times a sorrowful journey through the valley of death, through much failure, through much suffering, through much weakness. However, understanding the gospel, having the gospel, through this priestly service of the gospel, which is constantly brought to us, we are renewed again and again. We are encouraged. And this valley of death that we are walking through is turned into a holy temple. In the beginning, man was worshiping and meeting God in the garden. But that garden, the world, became ruined by sin. From a beautiful garden, from a blessed and good creation, it became a valley of death filled with dried bones. And that is what the place we live in is. America is a valley filled with dried bones. Europe is a valley that's dark, very dark and filled with dry bones. But we have confidence in the power of the gospel, the same power of the gospel, the same power of the blood of Christ that brought us to life is the power that gives us hope that new life will be brought into this world, and sinful people would be cleansed by their sins, brought to life. We were also nothing else than dead in sin. We were born dead in sin. We were born in darkness. We were born unable to know God or to love God. But we received the gospel. We were cleansed by the blood of Christ. And we are now alive and praising our Lord. What is the role of the church in the world? What is your role in the world? It is to be a witness of the sacrifice of Christ and also to present yourself as a sacrifice before God. The life of the church and the life of the Christian is a tale of these two sacrifices. So that is why we need to set our eyes on these two callings. The calling to believe and to rest in the sacrifice of atonement that Christ has brought once and for all. And also the calling to worship God and to obey God with our life as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Christ has accomplished the sacrifice of atonement. We can be confident in our forgiveness, in our cleansing, and now by His Spirit, He's working in us and He's building us up to be a sacrifice of thanksgiving that's acceptable before God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for having mercy on us. We praise You for sending Your only Son to bear our sins on the cross. When we hear this great news, we are filled with gratitude. Give us confidence in the cross of Christ. Give us wisdom to express with our whole life the gratitude we have towards You. Send the words of Your gospel to sprinkle clean sinners from all over the world. Bless all the congregations of Your church and give us perseverance until the end. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.